Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is John Ball, a managing director with Stiefel Nicholas. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Kemp. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to talk to you. Last time I saw you, we were together in the press room at Surfaces. You were taking a read there. Any interesting observations from going to the retail market?
Trade shows are always filled with optimism, Kemp. I continue to see a fair bit of innovation in the flooring industry, which I think is good. I had attended the Builder Show in Orlando a couple of weeks in front of that, and you know, one of the things that strikes me is all of the both performance technology as well as fashion changes that are affecting building products in general. We even saw innovation in carpet with Mohawk combo of pad carpet that supposedly cuts installation costs dramatically. So, yeah, I liked what I saw on the innovation product front in particular. We're seeing laminate flooring, you know, come under some pressure. Anything with wood in it is subject to moisture problems, so we're seeing a big movement to waterproof, water-resistant type stuff, and a lot of innovation on the LVT and ceramic plank side. So, yeah, that's exciting.
Okay, let's talk about the stock market before we get in these individual publicly traded flooring companies. The stock market coming into this year, for after a couple of years of having very disappointing January and February results, top market to 21,000 on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Talk just briefly about what your read is on that.
Well, it's obviously tied back to the election result. Forget your politics. The view of the market changed fairly dramatically that next day. You may recall the prognosticators in the evening were predicting the market would fall, 700 points, and of course, that didn't transpire. And I think the reason it didn't, quite simply, is that I've heard some people refer to this administration as one of the most pro-business administration in recent memory, if not history. That's, the market moves on the hope and often sells off on the actual results or press release or whatever the case may be. And the market's been optimistic that regulations would be loosened, we'd take tax reform, all that. Now you fast forward to several months later, and we've seen the market hiccup a little bit here in the last few days, and it ties to somewhat the reality of how difficult it is getting the legislative changes passed through. With the health care bill being the first biggie, and I'm not going to opine on what will transpire on that, but there are some concerns now in the marketplace, Kemp, that the Trump agenda, which among other things includes lower taxes and lower regulations, will be more difficult to implement, particularly if we don't get health care, which is the first biggie, done.
Yeah, if the guy who wrote the book, The Art of the Deal, can't get this first big deal on the health care passed, then the market may react violently. We'll have to see.
Who knows? But again, we had the hope trade. A lot of stocks moved. You saw the financials move in particular based on the belief that interest rates would go up because the economy would get better. And on that front, the Fed seems to be supportive of that case, that the economy does look better and has been trying to raise rates. But I'd still say this is a fragile economy and a fragile market. If sentiment changes, the health care bill could be that trigger. We'll see. You could get significant sell-off. The economy is still, in my view, grinding its way up slowly, and there's a lot of reason for optimism, but like anything, you got to get it delivered.
All right, let's talk about these publicly traded companies. Obviously, Mohawk's results have been out for a little while, and they're probably the shining star, biggest mass company. I mean, they're at $9 billion, so that's a sizable company. Their fourth quarter revenue up 9.2%, revenue for the year up 11%, the year-end earnings up 51% over 15, so tremendous results, and their stock's trading at 227. Any comments about them?
Yeah, Mohawk's been a powerhouse of an entity for quite some time and attracted quite a following on Wall Street, deservedly so. I think what's interesting is they've gone now approaching 2 years, I think, without having done a major acquisition, IVC being the last one. But in the meantime, they've cranked up their capital spending. I believe they spent north of $650 million last year, and the plan is to spend close to $750 million this year. And that's capital spending. I mean, I don't know off the top of my head how many companies globally are doing that much in revenue in flooring. And it just tells you how aggressive they are in terms of growing their capabilities around the globe in various product categories. Now, having said that, they're also at times shrinking. They announced the closing of a solid wood flooring plant in West Virginia here recently. So But yeah, I think the message is loud and clear. They're going to drive growth. If they can't find acquisitions, they'll try to drive it, as we call it, internally, organically. Although I do still think they'll be doing acquisitions. Certainly their balance sheet is in a position where they could entertain even a large transaction, would one become available.
Well, I think they did close on Emile Ceramica, and on that hardwood plant in West Virginia, they tripled the size of that plant in Arkansas and made that from a solid to an engineered. So that's probably just realigning themselves to meet market conditions.
That is true. Solids are shrinking, and they did. They did the Emile Ceramic. I mean, Mohawk's getting so big, as you pointed out, that those are almost rounding error type acquisitions. Yeah. You know, if they could find enough of those, they could move the needle in combination. But there are a limited number, I guess, of $1 billion type transactions out there. Yeah. You know, I think that's again why you're seeing them perhaps do more capital spending, because at their size, to drive the kind of growth they want to achieve, they're going to have to do a fair bit of it internally.
Yeah, let's talk about Armstrong real quick. Armstrong just announced a week or two ago that they're consolidating their approach to the market, combining both commercial and residential under the same leadership. It's going to be interesting to watch them. Their year-end and fourth quarter were off a little bit, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think Armstrong Flooring's results are a byproduct of where they're positioned in the marketplace. Obviously, vinyl and wood are their two primary categories, and as we just talked about, solids are losing share to engineered. Everything being equal, they've had a stronger position relative to the market in solids, so that's gone against them. Of course, we've talked about years gone by, the decline in felt back vinyl versus fiberglass. Again, they've been positioned a little more heavily in the former. The latter is what's growing. Now we've got LVT growing, and like everybody, they've jumped into that, albeit maybe a little later in terms of the productive capacity than some of their competition here. But where they're struggling is, you know, their positions in VCT, which is a big commercial product for them, and that's in the decline. And, of course, sheet vinyl is in decline, and there's some, you know, pricing pressure on some of these categories as well. So I think for Armstrong Flooring, it's a matter of trying to get the businesses that are growing, like LVT, to be a larger percentage of the mix. But until that happens, the consolidated results are going to see some pressure, and that's why they backed off of their kind of intermediate-term sales growth guidance, admitting that the legacy products, as they call them, that are in decline are going to prevent them from growing rapidly in the very near term.
They're still the market share leader in hardwood and resilient, so hopefully they can get things lined up according to what the market wants to consume.
Yeah, Kemp, and I liked what I saw in terms of new product launches there. They're heavily dependent on the distributor channel, and it's going to be incumbent upon the distributors to support them and vice versa. I do think they've done a much better job in recent years of listening to their customers, i.e. distributors in particular, product innovating, getting more competitive on price. But that's what it's going to take. Every day that some of the independent channels, you know, and they do sell obviously home centers and Floor & Decor and these other large players, but you know, the distributors are going to those on the two-step process to the smaller dealers. You know, they've got to hold their own. So they're somewhat incumbent. Their growth is incumbent upon the distributors' support of them, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out over the next couple of years.
Okay, and the last one, Interface, obviously a leadership change there going on. Their results, again, are somewhat down. Any comments on them?
Yeah, you know, Jay Gould's now in charge. Dan Hendricks has officially retired. I think Jay Gould's fingerprints are on the decision made last year to exit the floor store, which was the retail effort to get the residential carpet tile. They'll still sell residential carpet tile on the internet and through catalogs, but they're going to abandon the store. They're in the midst of trying to reconfigure their operations in LaGrange, Georgia area to become more efficient. I think the focus in Interface is on can they grow the U.S. business, and on that front, their order trends were more favorable in terms of 17 year-to-date commentary through the first couple of months. I think that's where the focus is. Of course, Shaw and Mohawk have grown their carpet tile business fairly aggressively. If they can hold their own in the U.S., that would be a little bit of a turnaround from their experience in 15 and 16. Also have a meaningful amount of business in Europe and the U.K. specifically. Obviously, fighting the Brexit challenges, I believe 7% of Interface's revenues are coming out of the UK. You know, it's a new day, new sheriff in town. They're launching LVT. That'll be interesting to see how that goes. We'll be watching it closely. The recent order trend, I think, provides some level of encouragement there for the first time in 5 or 6 quarters.
All right, John. Well, it's great to talk to you, and thanks for giving us an update on your perspective for these publicly traded companies. Again, we're talking to John Ball, Managing Director with Stifel Nicolaus, and you've been listening to Kempar and FloridaDaily.net.